You're listening to the CX Innovators Podcast.
As business leaders look for ways to improve productivity and profitability, they're increasingly turning to innovative automation and self-service technologies. But keeping up with the rapid pace of new innovations can be overwhelming. Now there's a website to help you do just that. From the publishers of Kiosk Marketplace, Vending Times, and Digital Signage Today, Automation and Self-Service covers trends in artificial intelligence, robotics, kiosks, payments, and much more. Visit the site today and subscribe at www.automationandselfservice.com.
Welcome to CX Innovators. This is Elliot Maris, editor of Kiosk Marketplace and Vending Times. Today's topic is achieving customer satisfaction with self-service in today's omnichannel marketplace. As omnichannel shopping has expanded for nearly all product categories, how does a brand ensure the same level of customer satisfaction in self-service touchpoints as in attended environments? Well, joining me today is an entrepreneur who has taken a careful look at meeting customer expectations with self-service equipment in a retail environment. Sasan Rahimzadeh is president of Arya Cleaners in Chula Vista, California. Sasan, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Elliot.
Well, to start out, why don't you just give us a little overview of your company?
Sure. We are actually a retail dry cleaning service provider here in San Diego County, city of Chula Vista is in San Diego County, and we've been in business actually for over 35 years now. But back in 2002, actually, we had a little bit of exposure to what levels of self-serve automation was coming to, at least to our industry. And that really, really piqued my interest at the time, in that we had always thrived and tried to basically reach our customers in any which way we could. Talk about omnichannel, frankly, I thought, okay, we had done in-person attended store historically, traditionally, especially in an industry where our only product is a service. We don't have a packaged item that we sell. It is a service that we sell. So it really piqued my interest back in 2002. We opened up our very first 24/7 unattended store in 2004. So we've been at it for a little while now. And over the years, as I've seen the evolution, frankly, of self-serve and unattended systems come about in every aspect of our culture, from grocery stores to the Home Depots and then to the airports and at restaurants and every which way, it made me feel that much more confident in the decision that we made back 20 some years ago to get into the sphere. Over the years, I've learned, we have really seen that we've added two more locations up to now, frankly, and we've tried to evolve it as much as we could. So that's a bit briefs of what our company's about and how we've gotten to where we're at.
And what was your first unattended system?
It was actually a system that was an Italian manufacturer called Metal Progetti when we first opened up that first store, we were the first one in the country, at least in our industry, to open up such a store completely unattended. And we were fortunate enough where we were able to get into a location in a shopping center that was still under design and review. So we were able to ask our landlord to build our space to suit. It was a so-called kiosk in the middle of the parking lot. Although we're trying very hard to get away from the term kiosk in every which way possible, because I think that term in general tends to dilute the service level that we're trying to provide to our customers. So we prefer a 24/7 express store over a self-serve kiosk. But that was our first location.
And how did it work?
The magic of it was, for us, what got me really excited about it even back in 2004. Actually, believe it or not, February 4th, coming up in just a few days, is our 20-year anniversary is when we opened that store. There's two machines there. There's a drop-off machine and there's a pickup machine. You know, our particular service is a two-visit type of a transaction. First, you go to drop off your garments, then you go to pick up your garments. And so we created a drop-off system where the consumer would come and register their account first, you know, create their own account first, basic information, name, address, phone number, and email address. And then once that drop-off transaction occurred, where the customer gets a bag, they put their garments in there, they mention whatever instructions they have, they drop it off in a drop chute that's there. We pick it up, clean and process it the traditional way, and then we would return it back to the unit again, where now the magic to it really is that conveyor. It's a very automated, with lots of robotics in that conveyor. The retrieval of the garments is where the mechanics became far more complicated and complex and high tech. So when the customer then receives a text that says their garments are ready, they go back to the system, they make a payment with their credit card right there. The system actually retrieves their garments, brings it to them in a little closet in front of them with double entry to it. So there's a back door and a front window to it. So nobody can really go in there and pick their own clothes. The system will have to safely deliver those garments to them. So that was the first location that we did. The theoretical part of it was fantastic. It worked great. The actual implementation, given the fact that it was, 20-year-old technology, there was a lot of little bleeps that we had here. The communication systems would drop between the systems, the credit card processor versus the POS system versus the actual robotics of it. So there was a lot involved in it. And that's what's taken us to today, where we've really fine-tuned and have streamlined that process drastically. And it's still work in progress. But that's really where it all started.
What advancements have you recently introduced to it?
The software integration has been the biggest part of it, frankly. We're trying to, instead of trying to use multiple different channels to control the process and the transaction, we're trying to bring it all under one umbrella where it's one software that's controlling majority of the transaction. There's still multiple pieces to it, but those only run on the background, not on the forefront. So credit card processing, customer order management, all of that is gone under one umbrella. And that has been by far the biggest challenge, frankly. The believe it or not, the mechanical portion of our store that is 20 years old now is still completely intact. We're using the exact same equipment that we did 20 years ago, as far as the robotics part of it. But the software and the front end of what the customer experiences is what we have drastically changed. To give you an example, 20 years ago, we were identifying the customers with a credit card number on file, where they would simply swipe in their credit card and we would read it and we would store it there, and that would become their ID. Well, with PCI compliance rules and all of those things, we've completely gone away from that. Everything is done with encryption, and now we identify our customers quite a bit differently than we did before.
Are you able to measure customer satisfaction?
We do that, frankly, on an ongoing basis, even with our regular traditional, face-to-face over-the-counter customers. We do that every single customer of ours, regardless of how they use us, whether they walk into our stores, our traditional stores attended, or they use our pickup and delivery service where they don't see anybody, or they use our 24/7 express stores, they get a text from us within 3 days where we request their feedback from them. And once they do reply to that request from us, They go off of our list for a good another 6 months before they get another text. We don't want to bombard them with every transaction because our particular customers, you know, in our industry, they're very much repeat customers. Some of our customers we see literally on a weekly basis, if not more. So we do that in an automated way, and we ask them for their feedback, where and that comes back to me and my team, both on the good side and the bad side, frankly. So it allows us to take care of any customer service issues right away, if there is any. And it also helps us to be able to improve on whatever pointers we get from the customers. And of course, it also helps us to know where we're doing good and you know, how much our customer satisfaction is, which has been helpful.
Okay. And have you used digital media to provide real-time from promotions and other information?
We do. Obviously, that's always a work in progress. We wish we could do more of it. Again, like I said, that the texting service is one of them. We also use a texting service to do promotions to our customers. We do email marketing to our customers where are existing database customers, where they opt into it. And we try to track those as much as, you know, well, for with every tool that they give us to make sure that we reach them. In fact, one of our emailing systems is once the customers receive the email, they can actually claim that offer right through the email itself. They don't even have to tell us anything when they come in. Once they claim the offer through the email, it's embedded into their account. So when they bring their order in, or once we receive their order, it's automatically applied. They don't even have to tell us anything about it. So we use some of that. But it, again, with the speed of technology as it's evolving and coming up, I was just on another call earlier this morning with our marketing team specifically about that. And they were telling me about all the new AI tools that are available to be able to use that even better. So we are aware of it in a relatively old-fashioned traditional industry. We try to use as much of the tools that are available, and that's kind of a tough balance sometimes, because our customers expect us to be, you know, we are a traditional, very personal service industry and business, and we try to, that's the most challenging part, using technology while still maintaining that personal relationship building criteria in all of our touch points.
And how have employee roles changed since you introduced the self-service technology?
You know, it's funny. When we first, back in 2002, frankly, when I saw it, I'll be honest with you, that was our one of our main objectives, to be able to see how we can save in labor, right? How we can reduce our labor needs and so on by going automated. Fast forward 20 years, it's not even really at all in our review of how can we do this. It's become apparent to me that we should really only use the 24/7 or the automated systems to best enhance our service level to our customers. That's our goal. That's our main goal, really, truly. What it has allowed us to do on the employee side, by being able to kind of eliminate the need for our staff to essentially operate a cash register, you know, because that's what they were doing. You know, customers are, believe it or not, they're somewhat disruptive to what we do the rest of the time. Our customer service reps are 90% of the work that they do is done when the customers are not even there, in processing and handling the customer's orders properly, whether it's marking it in, identifying the garments, sending them to the right department, making sure that they're racked properly, their inventory properly, all of that. That's 90% of what they do. Customer interaction is about 10% of the time that they do. And it's frankly rather rudimentary, you know, receiving an order, giving an order, taking payment and delivering the goods. And we found that by going with the automated system, our existing staff, who have to be substantially more trained on the back end of things than they have to be on the front end of things, can really focus and do their actual job better and be more detail-oriented. And we can train them on that much more. And so we found the specialization of their tasks a much bigger component of what they do rather than just simply being a cashier. Our employees are far more important now for us because they're a lot more specialized. And frankly, their compensation is better for that matter too. Mm-hmm. So we found them to be a lot more important to us than they ever were before. And we appreciate that.
So tell me about ROI. Is it viable?
You know, after 20 years, I can tell you the first 15 years of it, we didn't get our money back because it has been, especially in our particular case where we've kind of been, the front runner in it, if you want to call it. It's been a lot of investment. It keeps going into it. It does require you to kind of see the end vision. But the more we kept putting into it, the more we feel confident, absolutely, is that we made the right move. And we are heading that way. We're still not there yet, to be honest with you. There still is quite a bit that needs to be done. The usage isn't 100% there yet, but every year, every time we make an improvement in our process, we see an uptick in usage. And I think that's the key. That's what keeps me going and saying, okay, we're getting there. This is a necessary tool. And frankly, COVID was an absolute critical point for that. It showed us that much more, proved to me that much more, where the automated systems are simply better to use, even on the consumer side. I think consumers have become far more accepting of using automation, and not just accepting of it, they prefer it. I do personally, where I go. And I think that's the goal that we keep in mind, at least in our particular systems, of how can we make this a better experience for our customers than to simply it be a bit a one-sided view from a business's perspective.
So Hassan, tell me, what is your top challenge today?
Top challenge really still continues to be getting all aspects of the technology, frankly, to work in sync together, because there's so much involved. Really, it's not just one system that you're dealing with. It's not just that front end that the customer sees. It's everything else on the back end of it, making sure that what the customer experiences also happens to fulfill all the needs that we have on the back end of it from an operational perspective. So, POS systems have to be able to sync into these things, and there's a lot involved. Originally, I used to think, come on, guys, this isn't rocket science. We're not asking you to send a rocket to the moon. Just make this thing work. And the more we dived into it, the more evolved we got, the more involved we got, the more I found out, well, yeah, there's a lot more that goes into it. And again, with technology constantly changing, one wheel being ahead of the other a little bit, the platforms sometimes don't match up and so on. So that's always the biggest challenge, really, making sure, and yet keeping things steady on the front end so that the customer experience doesn't diminish. That's the goal. And that's the challenge. That's always the biggest challenge. Where, being at the SSIS last year and the previous year really opened my eyes to just so much more that there's out there from the AI perspective on the voice recognition part that was there, which is something that we just never even thought about prior. It opens up opportunities and just so much potential. And yet I could just imagine, oh boy, we're just adding another layer of integration, which then could potentially throw everything off the wheel. So that's the challenge, really. Are we, where do we push the envelope? Where do we hold back and stay steady? Those are the challenges.
Okay. Dan, do you think today's technology providers are up to those challenges?
I think so. I feel a lot more confident today than I did back in the day, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's just the resources that are out there now that have been proven and used so much. You know, like I said, when we first started this, we were the first one in our industry. And I'm assuming in a lot of other industries, there wasn't that many. I think other than banking, which had ATMs going, there was Home Depot hadn't brought it out yet. The supermarkets hadn't brought it out yet. The airports were still very manual. There was none of it in restaurants. So when we first started dabbling into it, we kind of had to create it as we went along. Now there's so much resources available that I feel confident continuing to go forward. It's just a matter of, you know, timing it and adjusting it. We are, believe it or not, after all these years, we are at this point now, we're developing our own system going forward to modify it to where we feel that, you know, if our vendors and partners that we work with, if they can't finish one end of it, well, we're trying to make sure that end gets fixed by ourselves so that we're not always relying on other entities to fulfill our needs.
Okay, great. Well, Hassan, I think that's exactly what we wanted to accomplish today. I much appreciate your time. So best of luck to you. And once again, thank you, Hassan, for being with us.
As business leaders look for ways to improve productivity and profitability, they're increasingly turning to innovative automation and self-service technologies. But keeping up with the rapid pace of new innovations can be overwhelming. Now there's a website to help you do just that. From the publishers of Kiosk Marketplace, Vending Times, and Digital Signage Today, Automation and Self-Service covers trends in artificial intelligence, robotics, kiosks, payments, and much more. Visit the site today and subscribe at www.automationandselfservice.com.